Let's be honest. Is there anyone here this morning who was not bothered by that parable? Is there anyone who doesn't find it manifestly unfair? On the one hand, there are those workers who have broken their backs in the scorching heat the whole day long. On the other, there is that other group of so-called workers who saunter into the vineyard at the end of the day, just as the heavy lifters are putting away their tools. And yet, not only do these Johnny-come-latelys get exactly the same pay, they are pushed to the head of the line to be paid before everyone else. The parable offends our sense of fair play. After all, shouldn't people who work more get paid more? Well, Jesus was no dope. He knew precisely what he was doing in spinning this parable. He was not talking about fairness at work. Rather, he was helping his disciples to get a better grasp of how things function in the kingdom of God. And as you and I claim to want to be Jesus' disciples, then we've got to wrestle with this parable too. I think the first time I had a proper insight into this parable was some 30 years ago when I was sent to teach high school in the south of Chile. In addition to my teaching load, it was my job to take the school van each morning to pick up some of our students who lived in the poorer section of town where the city buses refused to go. Except for the fact that I had to get up an hour earlier, I really enjoyed that job because it allowed me to get to know these boys outside the classroom. On one of my first days as chauffeur, I noticed how one of the boys, who at school was as boisterous as all the others, suddenly grew quieter as we drove by the main plaza in town. Although he tried to be inconspicuous about it, I could see how he craned his neck over the heads of the other kids to get a good look out the window. When I mentioned this to one of the other Jesuits in the house, he explained that the plaza was where the people looking for work would assemble. They would show up at the crack of dawn and remain there, hoping that somebody would hire them for a few hours at minimum wage. What Carlos was doing every morning as we drove to school was checking to see whether his father had been lucky enough to get hired yet. If his father were still standing there in the plaza at 7 a.m. when we drove by, it meant that he had already lost 2 hours of pay. In fact, it meant that perhaps he wouldn't be hired at all that day. What a way for a 15-year-old to start the day, wondering whether his father would get work, wondering whether there would be food on the table when he got home from school. Ever since that experience, I realized that the truly fortunate ones in today's parable are not the ones who got a full day's pay for 1 hour's work. Rather, the really lucky ones were those who were hired right off the bat. Sure, they had 12 hours of back-breaking labor ahead of them, but at least they knew at the end of the day they wouldn't walk home empty-handed. If they were like Carlos's father, they might have earned only enough for bread and tea and maybe a few potatoes. But at least there would be something for dinner. At least Mr. Trevino would feel like a provider instead of a loser. Those of us who don't have to worry about where our next meal will come from might miss the point of this parable. After all, if you already have a job and a pocket full of money, it's easy enough to dismiss those people standing on the corner as loafers or idlers. In our complacency, we might even say, wouldn't it be nice if we all had nothing better to do than stand on the corner all day? What Jesus is telling his disciples in this parable was not to judge others until they had walked in their shoes. And make no mistake about it, Jesus was not talking about people looking for work. The disciples would have recognized immediately that Jesus was referring to the self-righteous Pharisees. The Pharisees were like the people in today's gospel who were hired first thing in the morning. people who work hard all day long. The Pharisees were punctilious in following their religious precepts. They prayed 7 times a day. They fasted 2x a week. In short, they were the pillars of Jewish religious society. The problem was, they came to believe that all their good works earned them a place in heaven. What's worse, they began to look down at people who did not practice religion as strictly as they did. In fact, they even criticized Jesus for socializing with presumed sinners like tax collectors and prostitutes. So Jesus told his disciples this parable about the workers who were hired at the last minute because he did not want his disciples to fall in the same muddled way of thinking as the Pharisees. He wanted them to understand 2 things. No matter how good and faithful you are, if you get into heaven, it's because God loves you enough to bring you there. Secondly, and more importantly, Jesus was telling the disciples to be careful about thinking themselves more religiously faithful or more virtuous than anyone else. But when all is said and done, what's this parable have to do with you and me? Well, individually, I suppose it means that we have to examine our consciences to see if we look down our nose at anyone in our family, among our neighbors, or among the people we work with. As a church, however, I think it means that we need to get out the tape measure once again to check the size of our doors, to see if they're wide enough for everyone to walk through. We need to see whether there's enough room in our pews, especially for people who have not always felt very welcome in the Catholic Church, like people who divorce and remarry, like our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, or like our sisters in faith who struggle to have their voices heard and their gifts acknowledged within the household of God. Here at Trinity, we pride ourselves on being a welcoming parish. Nevertheless, we are still part of a larger church that even today is neither consistent nor gracious in its welcome of people who do not think or behave the way the institutional church prescribes. And so you and I have a lot of work to do to make our church and our parish less Pharisaical and more like the kind of place where Jesus will feel comfortable bringing all his friends, especially the so-called tax collectors and sinners of our generation.